And we're off.
Hello, yes, and welcome to Literary Loitering, part of the Geek Show Podcast Network. We are the Geek Show's dedicated arts, books, and culture podcast. I'm Graham, and this week I've been joined by Rob.
Hello.
Sarah.
Hi.
And Andrew.
Hello. That went a bit high at the end, I don't know why.
It sounded cheesily flirtatious, which I think is on brand for you.
I thought he demonstrated a canny vibrato.
A what?
So later in the show, we're expecting a guest appearance from Seb's yappy dog, Edward.
he's been very good, actually. His mate, John, has gone out for a walk with my girlfriend. And Edward is being quite quiet at the moment. He's normally the better behaved of the two.
Excellent.
John's the naughty one, really.
So before we get started, should we have a quick roundup of what we've been reading in isolation?
Yes.
Hmm.
Does anyone want to actually start that? Or?
I can tell you that I'm still continuing with Wildfell Hall. We'll read a chapter a night, and we sort of, because it's lockdown, I don't know why, we've gone all very, like, dramatic with it, so we're reading it like we are the Georgians, and we're sort of... putting all the emphasis and going, oh, dearie me, etc. So, yes, it's very enjoyable. But there are a lot of chapters. There's 53 chapters, and we are on chapter 42 or something, I think.
Oh, wow, end in sight.
See, end in sight, but it's pretty good, yeah.
See, I've been watching the Harley Quinn cartoon series on that DC have put out.
That doesn't count as
Hang on,
book.
Just follow me on this. I can't now hear the word emphasis correctly. After watching that.
Right.
Because
okay, fine. If Rob's allowed to have a cartoon series, I've been reading lots of Transformers comics.
Now, the character of Clayface, who is a notorious villain from the Batman canon, they've basically made him into a, not an actor, but a thespian, but a really bad one. And
right.
He can't say emphasis, he says emphasis.
He's not an actor. He's an actor.
Yes. So now I cannot hear the word emphasis correctly.
Emphasis.
Oh no, more dramatic, Sarah. More dramatic.
Emphasis.
That's it. Actually, that's pretty much bang on clip.
That is uncannily close.
Exactly. Yes. So, yeah, aside from that, I'm continuing my trash binge of Eastern fantasy fiction. The last one I finished was... I can't remember. Did I say the last one I finished?
In that memorable.
Well, I've basically been tapping into their science fiction fantasy or science fantasy stuff. And I finished one called Black Technology Internet Cafe System, which I think I told you guys about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's one I'm reading now called The Strongest Gene, and by that they don't mean trousers. and it is a sci-fi to do with genetics.
Is it Gene Grey of the X-Men and I Dream of Genie just wrestling with each other?
Is it Gene Belcher from Bob's Burgers? Is that The Strongest Gene?
No, but
that's another better gene.
I'm just thinking about Andrew's thinking there of Gene Grey and I Dream of Genie wrestling with each other, thinking.
Yeah, I might be thinking of that sometime.
Oh no, this isn't the Foot Lights wrestling. This is proper. There's chairs going over heads. There's like flying elbows, somersaults.
This is
the wrestling
proper
words that I know.
This is proper backyard wrestling, is it?
That there's kicking and or gouging.
So yeah, it's a very, very odd story, and I'm not sure I follow half of it because it's like, oh, genes are magical. I'm like, no, they're not. But genes can do this. You can take the genes from this animal and put it into yourself. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here now.
I've been using my time to catch up on some like major authors that I hadn't read much of or hadn't read particular novels by, which I don't think people should feel like they have to do, by the way. Mm. If during lockdown you feel like you can best calm your nerves by rereading a series of tie-in novels to the TV show Sweet Valley High, that is an absolutely valid thing to do. But I have gone the other way, and I am currently reading Truman Capote's In Cold Blood.
Oh, right. And how is it?
Well, I mean, I've got to admit, I think he needs an editor. He prided himself on very clear, straightforward writing, and I sort of see that, but there's quite a bit of extraneous detail that did not help my picture of the Kansas society in the aftermath of these murders. But, you know, it's not bad. It's not as good as Great Joan Street by Don DeLillo, which I read before it, and which was really good. That's quite an early DeLillo about a rock star who goes into seclusion in the New York squat where he started off. It turns out, as with every single Don DeLillo book, the stuff that he is really writing about, which is about surveillance and the celebrity society, is still absolutely blisteringly relevant and good.
Cool.
I've mostly got distracted by having a bit of a comics binge. Read a lot of Transformers, read a lot of Judge Dredd.
Oh, nice.
It's, I will say for anyone who isn't a Judge Dredd, 2000 AD, I believe it's still going on. They're offering one of their big collections just completely for free.
Wow.
And it's good stuff. It's got Judge Death in it and the Apocalypse War.
Wow. I don't know what either of those things are, but it sounds impressive.
it's like romantic comedies.
Excellent. Oh, fantastic then. Well done.
Judge Death is a fantastic villain. One of the great villains in comic book history, I think.
He is definitely one of my favourites. I think it's one of my great pleasures that I got to go on a friend's podcast and just immediately within minutes yell out, "The sentence is death!" Anyway, actual book side of things. I've been continuing to get through the Dictionary of Ancient Egypt from the British Museum that I mentioned a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just that's one of those things. It's very nice just kind of dip in and out of.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, it is organised like a dictionary, so you can just read through a few articles kind of when you've got a few minutes spare.
Is Egyptian that still top notch?
And then I'm also considering probably going to finally get around to reading The Silmarillion.
Oh, wow. Lockdowns took its toll on you then.
Yeah.
It's just one of those. You know, like these ancient cultures, they have these rites of passage where a young man must put himself through a great ordeal to finally truly become a man. I think this is my one.
Oh dear, well, good luck. We're all counting on you.
Oh, don't count on me. I'm definitely going to read like half of it and then give up. that's being very optimistic.
Have we discussed the novels you feel most proud of completing on this show before?
I don't believe we have. I'm also not sure what my answer would be.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Because I'm fairly bad at just giving up halfway through things.
I think that's a good attitude, though, especially as you get older. It's just like, I don't have time for this.
Yes.
Sweet Valley High nonsense.
Yeah, well, hang on. Once you get into the gritty reboot, it all pays off, so.
Okay, but is it as good as reading a comic in which Judge Death just kind of, like, tears out a man's heart?
No, obviously not.
Is it not even as good as Judge Death having a friend called Judge Fear who can make you go insane by staring into his face? But when he tries to unjudge Dredd, he just punches him.
Excellent. No, it's not as good as that.
It also has the legendary exchange, gaze into the face of Fear, gaze into the fist of Dredd. Comics are good.
Well, onto our news section. Andrew, you'll be delighted to know we have a recurring item. Oh yeah. Get yourself ready. Start your engines. It's Vietion Online Publications News.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
Oh. Oh, 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 oh.
Yes, we've reported before on this curious business where online publications like ebooks and the like had a much higher rate of VAT than actual books, magazines, and newspapers, despite not having any physical anything, really.
Well, in some cases, that is actually more true than people think. I've read some of those ebooks. They have no fundamental anything.
If only VAT was actually charged based on intellectual merit.
Or actual quality.
Yes. But this has been brought to the government's attention. The original plan was to put it through next year, but due to the ongoing pandemic and the fact that many publishers are facing a bit of a pinch, it's been brought forward to this year. So, as of now...
What is this that's been brought forward?
The 20% VAT charge has been removed, meaning that a £10 ebook will now cost £8.33, for instance.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
There is one interesting loophole. The VAT exemption is designed to cover all online publications, but the definition of what constitutes an e-newspaper or e-magazine has not been nailed down. Now, what I'm saying is, right, we're online, we cover the news, can we get away with reclassifying ourselves as an e-newspaper for tax purposes?
I think yes, because I always wanted to start a Agony Aunt column, and
yes.
I'm here for you. That's all I'm saying. I'm just putting it out there. Anything you want to tell, it's absolutely fine.
This is something that our whole podcast network has been crying out for.
Yes, it is. I'm excited. I'm not going to hold that back. I am pleased to hear this.
What other columns would you guys like to pretend you're writing in order to facilitate my tax fraud?
I think I'm going to do a quick cartoon called Edward and John about the hilarious knockabout antics of two quirky dogs.
Yes.
Do they have to be...
Can I be a hard-hitting news reporter so that I can finally earn the nickname Scoop?
Does it have to be based on actual, real news?
I mean, you've done this podcast a while. How far off the subject do we go?
Okay. Right. I'll do the weather then. But well, I'll do it like Mystic Meg predicting the lottery numbers.
Yes. Oh, that's a pang of nostalgia there.
Firemen will be lucky too.
Exactly, yeah. But it's all going to be written exactly as it's said. So there's going to be lots of oars in the two.
Firemen will be lucky too was less of a prediction and more of a proposition, really, wasn't it? As for me, I'm going to pull on my pork pie hat, put that little ticket in the band around the brim, and, I don't know, probably do a cookery column.
Nice.
So we've got all things. Oh, well, the only thing...
my hat and an apron.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll do sports as well.
Yeah, I feel like I can't challenge you for that one.
No, me either. I'd be useless in sports.
I'll do sports, but I'll be it will be my own take on sports, which is one of which is 22 men in shorts running about after a ball. How is this not gay?
Well, that would be my pitch to be the economics editor. Granted, I know absolutely nothing about economics, but that seems to be a qualification, if anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially in government.
Yeah. Do the Times still employ Anatole Coletti, the guy who said that that whole 2007 run on the banks was going to blow over in a couple of weeks? I think they did the last time I read it.
I think they're okay. I think they're okay on that front because, hell, the country employed George Osborne, who only has a history degree, to be Chancellor.
Yeah, and then he went on to do to the Evening Standard what he did to the nation's finances. It's almost like the guy's a bit of a chancer.
Hang on, are you saying he's like the Arthur Daly of journalism and politics?
I'd say the Jonah of journalism and politics. The Calamity James of journalism and politics. There's even a certain family resemblance in the last one. That's quite a good pivot, actually, because we have a political story here. As we are all aware, our leaders have been interviewed and broadcast to the nation in a style that they are unaccustomed to, namely over their webcam. And very few of our politicians are really well-versed in chatting to people over webcams, except John Whittingdale, and we can't talk about that story for legal reasons. But the Financial Times has run a whole piece on spying on the bookshelves of public figures as they do Zoom interviews.
What?
Wow.
A whole piece?
A whole piece.
Not half a piece, but a whole piece.
I'm just pleased that in lockdown my hobbies are going mainstream.
Whenever there's a bookshelf, it's like almost being curated properly, though, on the news or somebody being interviewed or something, and you cannot help but your eyes drawn to it. You're always going to look in the background. Ever since Airplane, probably, you're just going to look in the background.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, some of them have been curated more carefully than others. The writer notes that Dominic Raab just has a selection of books about conservative politicians, which, you know, he could stand to read other things like A Map of Dover, for instance. David Cameron also went with having a selection of books about right-wing politicians behind him, and then he adjusted it because he realised that doing Zoom interviews with a big book about Hitler behind you looked a bit bad.
Yes.
Just a smidge.
The author also notes that Boris Johnson's bookshelf looks like set dressing. Keir Starmer, and I quote, did himself a few favours with an adjustable shelf half full of what looks like case books. But my favourite thing is not actually a politician, it's J.K. Rowling, who in her interviews has unconsciously revealed that she, like so many of us, has been so bored she has arranged her bookshelf by the colour of the book's spines. Is it a cry for help?
Well, I was going to ask, does that prove that she can't read, or is it something else?
Is it something else, like most of her recent books?
Well, we don't know how many times she's rearranged it before that's led to this rearranging it by colour. I mean, she could have done it by subject area, or she could have done it alphabetically before. And now, you know, third time she's trying by colour, because we have been on lockdown for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Hang on. So,
I don't think this lasts even longer. I assume it's every time she sits down and thinks, well, I guess I could work out a coherent plot for my next book now.
So, I just want to ask. So, no longer is the racism staying in casual vacancy. It's now spread to her bookshelf, which is now segregated by colour.
Maybe it's an exercise where somebody is told to, look, Joe, every time you want to send a really crap tweet, rearrange your bookshelf instead.
Thank God, there are tweets that are so bad she thinks twice before sending them.
Weirdly, another politician who only stocks political biographies behind him when he talks on camera is Pete Buttigieg, despite him getting in trouble a bit back for being accused of being a poser for claiming that his favourite book was Ulysses. You see coming scared from the allegation.
Has he got a bookshelf just full of copies of Ulysses? And nothing else?
I mean, I would double down on it. I would think, all right, if you're going to go at me for that, my next interview, I'm going to have Ulysses, Finnegan's Wake, Dubliners, and Portrait of the Artist of a Young Man, and a bound folio copy of those awful love letters. See how you like that?
Yeah.
Are they the ones to Mrs. Thingy? I forgot her name. She's married to somebody else in the theatre, and I forgot her name.
Barnacle.
That's it, Nora Barnacle.
Barnacle!
The famous SpongeBob SquarePants character, Nora Barnacle.
Oh, God, if she was in SpongeBob, oh, my God, that wouldn't be a kid's show.
this is my second favourite story this week about a person with a rubbish name.
What's the...
Our Prime Minister named his son Willie Johnson.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. People are crying out for what the middle names must be.
It's a name choice that screams, I'm going to send him to a school where there is no bullying.
Wasn't his name Wilfred Laurie Nicholas Johnson?
No, it's Willie Dick McCocksmith Shaftsalot, the loaded tackle Johnson. I believe. I mean, that's the rumour.
So, yeah, here's something that will make everyone feel guilty about not spending their lockdown more productively, because I know that's another hobby that everyone's been very hot on recently. A group of 46 Portuguese writers are co-authoring a serial novel about a pandemic, with each writer contributing a different chapter, then passing it to the other.
Wow. 46?
What 46. What? Almost as many as the tenant of Wildfell Hall.
What could possibly go wrong with this? Hang on. Isn't this just a more formal version of what Lena Dunham did with her chapter a day in Vogue?
It's essentially the same thing, except better, because Lena Dunham does not appear to be involved.
Fair point.
Okay.
The book is called Escape Goat.
Good. A what?
I approve.
Mm-hmm.
Each writer has 24 hours to complete a chapter before they pass it to the next author.
Oh, that is not long.
That's speed just chaptering.
That's just that game that we used to play in school where you write one sentence, fold the paper over and pass it on.
Uh-huh. Oh, yay! Oh, I was assuming they were writing a novel, not the sequel to The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Do you know who invented that game, by the way?
Wasn't you, was it?
I'm just going to give you a second to think through the implications of what you've said here.
You've discovered time travel. We already knew that, Graham.
No, it was the actual surrealist movement in the 1920s.
Was it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Weird artsy thing.
Yeah.
So hang on, did they like do part of a painting and then pass it on to the next one?
Yes.
Was that it?
Yes!
Wow!
Yes, it was called Exquisite Corpse, which is not as good a title as Escape Ghost, I grant you, but that's what it was.
When you say Exquisite Corpse, I'm assuming you don't mean the like dead body type corpse, but
oh
like,
no, I absolutely regiment. Do.
Really? Yeah. So not the regiment, but the dead body.
Oh, yeah, because it's strange, because you'd expect a game created by the Surrealist movement to have a sensible and tasteful name, but no, it really was called Exquisite Corpse.
Okay.
I'm just surprised it's not called Random Bum Sex.
Yeah, I think that was actually one of the Spanish Surrealist movement. Random
I'm not going to say the joke that just went through my head after you said that.
But I know what you're thinking. This sounds like a wonderfully pretentious art project. Do they have a wonderfully pretentious statement to go alongside it? And I'm delighted to say that they do.
Awesome. How could they neglect to?
Exactly.
Wait, wait, wait. Did each one of the authors write a sentence in the
same? Or is it just... we watched Outbreak together one time during the lockdown and we thought we could do better.
Yes, he becomes. In spite of the current apocalypse, we want to demonstrate that we're still here, in contact with the public. We work without a safety net, with no time for editing, revision, reflection. We may lose our balance, but we renew our grip on the bar like tightrope walkers on a wire. For now, we wish to offer an escape into inspiration.
Right.
Okay.
Just from my audio perspective, right?
Yeah.
Graham clearing his throat before reading that made it sound like dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Right. Like you know, ending.
No, like the beginning of Terminator. You know the music from Terminator? And then while he was reading that, all I could hear in my head was da-da-da-da-da-da. Now read it again, or think about it, just with the Terminator theme music playing in the background, and it becomes awesome.
It does read a bit like they've each contributed a word.
It's like John Connor's mission statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is like when you do it at a party and they're just, we do not have a safety net.
Yeah.
What like the hell are you doing?
I don't know what that's called, that game, but yeah.
So, a lot of people have been thinking about the pandemic in terms of what new perspective it'll give us on life, that perhaps some of the trivial or mean-spirited or divisive things that we used to think will be revealed as unimportant in the light of what's happened. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. The American Library Association has released its new list of the most challenged books. Is it just a big long list of which books have the gayness in it? Oh yes, I think you'll find it is. Does it still have that John Oliver book about Mike Pence's pet rabbit?
Oh, Marlon Brando.
By golly, wow.
Is Marlon Brando still on the list?
It's got staying power.
I was so keeping the ice cream van in for this.
No. Honestly, I thought we'd got away with it because normally it comes before fall, but obviously given it's the Lord's Day, it's adjusted its timetable.
The thing is, we've mentioned Marlon Brando and now he has his own theme music.
It does sound like Green Snooze. On sleeves and hot dogs, it's ice cream vans and trains.
Oh, it just gives me a good... Ice cream van music always gives me a warm, nostalgic feeling as I remember buying heroin. But yes, absolutely standard stuff on the best of the list. George by Alex Gino, which is about a transgender kid, and Tango Makes Three. People are still very angry about gay penguins. That's another big one. And your actual Harry Potter series for, and I quote...
Witchcraft. Containing... It's witchcraft, isn't it?
Yeah. Containing actual curses and spells.
Right.
Yeah, because I remember there was that priest in the Bible Belt who was hell-bent on banning Harry Potter from the town and so had a bonfire of Harry Potter books. That they'd confiscated from the local bookstore.
Is that what they're calling it now?
Yeah.
Bad optics, that, I felt. But it's not just those old favourites that are being challenged, although, let's be fair, those old favourites are being challenged over and over again and will continue to do so until the entire Earth is burnt to a crisp by the sun expanding into a red supergiant. But there are also some interesting new choices in that laboratory for stupid school library bans, Alaska. The Matsuburo School District has decided to ban I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou, Catch what? 22 by Joseph Heller,
what?
Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison, and just to really hack at the roots of that whole great American novelty, The Great Gatsby.
Okay, and so, why?
Is this the precursor to Alaska joining with Russia?
And it's, you know, not an anti-gay move.
It's not entirely an anti-gay move. I mean, some of them are sort of struck down for sexual references. But you know how every time we do this story, I point out that there is a slight difference between how censorship of art is talked about in the mainstream media and how censorship of art actually happens in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, every time this is talked about in the media, people say, oh, of course, now it's all of the lefties who censor things because they're not woke or something like that. Then you actually look at these things and know it is just the same people ranting about the same things that they've been ranting about since 1950. I only mention this as an example because Maya Angelou's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings has just been banned by this Alaskan school board for being, and I quote, anti-white.
Oh, what the actual f***. I'm sorry for swearing, but what the actual f***. Please, Louise.
Oh, wow.
Fortunately, there is a fight back.
Should think so too.
These books have been pulled from the school district. One of the people who voted on them said that he'd only actually read one of them, which I thought was holding cards up there, I guess.
I mean, I'm impressed you managed to read a whole one of them.
But members of the local community and local businesses have offered a series of incentives for students to read these books, including $100 prizes and a free mac and cheese.
Oh, wow, good for them.
Yeah.
Good lads.
And is this competition free for anyone to take part in?
Any hungry person at all?
Andrew starves himself waiting for that Alaskan mac and cheese.
That's how we all knew I was going to go out.
So that's all right, isn't it? Read Ralph Ellison, get some mac and cheese.
Bonus.
Yeah.
And to round off the news section, a bit of a guessing game here. The top three biggest selling authors in America of last year have been revealed. And two of them are maybe not surprising.
Was one of them God?
One of them was not God. Congratulations, Rob. You've given the Alaskan School Board something else to be angry about.
Was one of them Trump?
It wasn't, and you have. Number one was J.K. Rowling, which is how she has so much free time to colour coordinate her bookshelf.
Segregate. Let's get it right. Segregate.
Could we get away with calling this episode J.K. Rowling's Books Apartheid?
Definitely not.
I don't think so.
Okay, back to plan two. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? James Joyce.
Oh, just James Joyce's Undersea Pineapple. Which I think has that distinct literary loitering gutter quality about it.
That sense that it must be something obscene, but you can't quite work out what.
Exactly.
Number two was James Patterson, which I think is slightly cheating, given that most of his novels are, at the very least, co-authored with someone else. But
James Patterson is just a name on a factory.
Yes.
There'll be authors churning books out.
Yeah, but he needs the cheap labour, so his factory is probably in China.
It's like saying, you know, the biggest author in the world is this Simon and Schuster guy. He's everywhere. But the number three might be a surprise. Who do we think is the third biggest selling author in the United States of last year?
Kim Kardashian.
Good guess.
Oh, come on. You know she's not literate.
She doesn't have to be. She just pays someone else to be literate for her.
Yeah, I'm starting to question if James Patterson can write or not these days, to be honest.
I'll guess Stephen King.
Yeah, I would say Stephen King.
Stephen King is, of course, the most prophetic author of America, with every American news story traceable back to some Stephen King novel or other.
Well, he was until the advent of Matt Groening. And, yes. You know, the great prophet Matt Groening, suddenly everything was related to predictions from The Simpsons or Futurama.
Mm.
I mean, it's pretty easy to be prophetic when your body of work is so much that you have written every conceivable plot that could ever possibly happen.
Thereby proving the monkey Shakespeare conjecture.
The blurst of times, you stupid monkey.
I remember that one.
No, the third biggest selling author in America last year has so far only written one book, so it's not bad going. It's Michelle Obama.
Ah, nice.
Mm.
That's cool.
Far be it from me to say that the success of Michelle Obama's memoir is a devastated yearning for a time when vaguely dignified people occupy the White House. But it is.
All I know from this story is that Michelle Obama has a 100% record.
Yes. Yeah, even Stephen King does not have as high a proportion of bestsellers in
exactly.
the catalogue. Yeah, that's true. So yes, hopefully this will be a tradition and we'll have A Life in Parts by Melania Trump coming up soon, which, given her speech at the RNC that year, will presumably be just Michelle Obama's memoir with the names changed.
Yeah, that title worries me. A Life in Parts.
Yeah. I mean, she's been taken apart and put back together again plenty of times.
And that wasn't
she just plays various parts as an actress.
That wasn't what I was thinking of. The first thought that ran through my mind was, Andrew, do you remember the picture of naked Donald Trump that artist made?
Oh, God, yeah, vividly.
Yes, but for why, Rob?
Because it's alive in parts.
Oh, dear. I understand.
I mean, she's all the body parts she's had surgically replaced.
Yes, I understand we have a quiz.
Yes, we do.
Hey! Now,
I gave you guys options, and I decided to go with Graham's one about Graham's choice rather than yours, Sarah. Yours can be the next episode.
I'm not bothered. I don't care.
Right.
I'm taken. Everything's fine.
The Diagram Prize is something that we cover every year, and I thought, okay, right, there's got to be more titles out there that don't make the cut. So, I want you guys to see if you can figure out the... Well, this is like blankety blank, right? I will read out part of the book title, and you guys have to tell me what the rest of the title is.
Oh, good, good.
Nice.
So, starting off with your first one, knitting with what? Knitting with blank.
Alacrity.
Hemp.
Okay, yeah, that's another good choice. Andrew?
Knitting with Idi Amin.
Can I change my guess? I think it should be knitting with dinosaurs.
I'm going to give a point to Graham there, because out of all three, he basically... Actually, no, I'll give you half a point, since you already had a guess and you took another Fair guess. Enough. All right. Because it is an animal knitting with dog hair. And
how is that similar to knitting with dinosaurs?
Because they're both animals.
Not true, but shut up, let me have it.
Hang on, just the tagline for this is great. Better a sweater from a dog you know and love than from a sheep you'll never meet.
Really?
Yes.
Are we sure about that?
Well, they seem to be.
Jurassic Park is a very different film. With the hiding in the kitchen and then just a bunch of good boys burst in.
It'd be a more adorable film. Right, okay. This one is another animal-themed book, right?
Jurassic Park.
No, no, no. Outwitting...
There's the title. It's a winner, Andrew.
It is. Outwitting what?
Outwitting
what? It's another animal-themed book.
Oh, okay. Outwitting alpacas.
Of course, nature's master strategist.
Outwitting
the woolly rommels.
It's a silly book title. Probably not something like outwitting bears, because that would be quite useful, actually.
And maybe it's a book where it's just you can't believe anybody would commit that to paper. Outwitting.
I'll say outwitting sheep.
Which on balance
owls.
Is, sorry?
Owls.
Owls.
Ooh. Well, it's got alliteration.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to give Sarah a point.
What?
It's not owls, but it is something that lives in trees. Outwitting squirrels. 101 cunning stratagems to reduce dramatically the egregious misappropriation of seed from your bird feeder by squirrels.
Excellent.
Wow.
I like the fact that the tagline is so much longer.
Yeah. It's also, I could have probably guessed why it was about, to be honest.
Right. How to raise your IQ by what?
7 or 8 points.
No, this one, I will give you a clue. The entire beginning bit, how to raise your IQ by, right? It takes a very, very sharp left turn after that. There are no numbers involved.
The worship of Jesus Christ.
Good guess. Good guess. Solvent abuse.
Andrew?
How to raise your IQ by...
Are you Googling this?
I just Googled it while I was thinking. Wait. How to raise your IQ by buying this book. Edward the dog agrees.
How to raise your IQ by, and this is the sharp left turn, eating gifted children.
Wow.
God, the stones on the
road. I feel like the title's kind of giving it away.
Right. Everything I know about women, I learned from my what? Again, very sharp left turn on this one.
My incel subreddit thread.
Is it dog, though?
No, it's not.
What was the title?
Everything I know about women, I learned from my what?
Penis!
Nope. It actually takes a sharp left turn. Further away than you think.
The amount of time I sat here trying to think of No, Andrew, you can't just say how to increase your IQ by furious masturbation. And then Sarah just yells out penis.
I'm too old to mess about.
Everything I know about women I learned from the play Titus Andronicus.
You want to know the answer?
They don't like having their kids fed to them, that's all I'll say.
Continuing the child eating theme.
Yeah. You want to know the answer?
Go on.
Wait. Everything I learned about women I learned from my parasitic ringworm.
Everything I know about women I learned from my tractor.
Wow!
Okay.
I don't know how that works.
That's amazing.
In honour of Andrew, I'm going to just throw this one in there. This one wasn't actually part of the list I made, but I'm going to put it in there anyway. What your way to the top?
I mean, there is a very quick answer there.
I mean, see previous comment.
So yeah, that one was just for you, Andrew, since you did say it.
I mean, I thought, wow, is it genuinely furiously masturbate your way to the top?
Basically, yeah, it's beat your way to the top. Masturbation as a technique for business success.
What? Holy God.
Right, okay. This one, there's an extreme turn in the middle of this title, right? So
okay.
Just be warned, the bit that is blank is probably not going to be what you think. 50 ways to use what in a manly manner for the self-assured male.
Is this a new publication? Because it sounds Edwardian.
Well, it has a guy with a rifle and a gun. And a dog on the front, so...
50 ways to use blank...
in a manly manner for the self-assured male, in brackets.
Is it Estee Lauder?
Nope.
Hypnosis?
Nope.
Okay, no, come on, Andrew. We've had a lot of fun. Cannot be your answer again.
Well, the thing is, there is a clue in the title, how to use something in a manly manner. I think Sarah's answer was on, was closest to the actual kind of...
One's old chap.
No,
I said, what's Percy?
Feminine hygiene products.
Oh my God, Andrew. Oh my God. Andrew gets a point.
What?
That's actually the answer.
Hey.
50 ways to use feminine hygiene products in a manly manner for what? The self-assured male.
Good grief.
Who's that insecure? Oh man, I hope my buds don't catch me with my new tampon and think I'm doing something girly with it. rather than off-road driving or what?
Skeet shooting.
Wasn't that Andrew's answer a couple of hours back?
Right. This one is something blank to make yourself. And it's two words.
Something to make yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first word of the title is something.
Well, no. It's blank, blank, to make yourself.
Ah, I see. Right.
Oh,
right.
So the first word,
so something you would normally buy.
Yeah. And it is, I'll give you a clue, it's a book for woodworkers.
Okay.
Okay.
Haunted dolls.
Lifelike wife.
Wait, it's okay, I've got it. Genuine miracles to make yourself a woodworker's guide.
Actually, yeah, I like that. What was your guess, Graham?
Haunted dolls. Haunted dolls, yeah.
I'll give you half a point for that. It is okay. Actually fancy coffins.
Oh, it's a fancy coffin.
Yes.
Look at him with his fancy coffin and manly maxi pad.
Here's another one for you. Summer with the what? Summer with the blank, a true story.
Lectors.
Golfers.
Manson.
That's right. It's about a man living in the wilderness, grizzly man style, with a tribe of golfers. If that's not it, I'm going to write that myself.
Right, see, I wish you had said that, because now I need to give an answer, and it's not going to be as exciting as a year with golfers. My summer with the tractor that taught me everything I know about women.
No. Summer with the leprechauns, a true story.
Wow.
Right. How true were we talking?
About as true as the next one. The manly art of what?
Another manly art?
Yeah, this one is the manly art of something in particular.
Macrame. The manly art of knitting with dog hair.
Sarah, Andrew?
The manly art of...
The manly art of getting books you haven't read banned by the school board because you're scared of the gay.
The manly art of convent leadership.
I'm going to give Graham the point. It's the manly art of knitting.
Excellent.
Right, the Bible cure for what?
Syphilis.
No.
Being nailed to a cross.
Nope.
The Bible cure for having a wobbly cable.
According to the tagline here, it's ancient truths, natural remedies, and the latest findings for your health today. It is the Bible cure for irritable bowel syndrome.
Wow. Wow.
Apparently, there are more than 2.5 million Bible cures sold.
Wow.
The real reason why God rested on the seventh day.
Right. This one, the title is just one word, right? So it's going to be blank. So the tagline is, the advantages and the disadvantages.
This is absolutely one of those awful Wattstone smart thinking books, isn't it? The kind that...
Okay.
Death.
Nope. But I like the thinking that you and Andrew have. You are basically thinking in the right kind of zone.
The bad zone.
Yes.
Necrophilia.
Dismemberment.
Oh, I'm going to give you half a point for that, Andrew. Castration. The advantages and the disadvantages.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised that's not in the Bible Cures book.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be thinking about my irritable bowel syndrome afterwards.
That's true. That's obviously a result of too many loaves and not enough fishes as it is.
Right, okay. Unlocking your what for better health?
Medicine chest.
Unlocking your doctor that you keep locked in the room in the basement.
Third eye.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, no one gets a point for this one. Unlocking
the energy.
No. This one is it's a lot more primitive, elemental, basic, however you want to define it. Unlocking your bowels for better health. By Salem Kirban, the tagline is, 20th century living has taken its toll on man's elimination organs. This book reveals how to restore normal, healthy function again.
I definitely want to create like an anime series now where the main villain has an elimination organ.
I'm just going to think back to Judge Dredd now, aren't we?
Okay, the beginner's guide to what in the afterlife?
This could actually be sex, I think. I've got a good feeling about that.
Wait, so beginner's guide to atheism in the afterlife.
Knitting.
I think Graham's winning this week. The Beginner's Guide to Sex in the Afterlife.
Yes!
An exploration of the extraordinary potential of sexual energy.
Ooh.
Yep.
Jolly good.
Cooking with who?
Is it the return of our old friend Idi Amin?
I'll give you a clue. It's 5-star meals at a 1-star price, and I suppose you could call him the ghetto gourmet.
Ah, St. Francis of Assisi it is.
Jay-Z?
No.
Cooking with the raccoon that keeps stealing from my bins.
Cooking with Coolio.
Of course, the obvious choice.
I'll make this the last one. Jesus and the what?
Oh, God.
Internet.
I've been re-listening to Chris Morris's Blue Jam over quarantine, and episode 2 gives you a very distinctive answer for that, but I don't think I will say it. Jesus and the what? NFL.
Nope.
Is it the long-awaited sequel to the hit RuPaul Netflix series Jesus and the Queen?
Nope.
Jesus and the Masters of the Universe.
Leprechauns again?
No. Jesus. I'll tell you what.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I'll give you guys one more chance at this one, but I'll give you the tagline first. Where spirituality and sensuality come together as God intended.
No. Emmanuel and Jesus. Yes. Jesus and Emmanuel. Kama Sutra.
See, now you've given me a vaguely dirty clue, all of my vaguely dirty suggestions have dried up. There's nowhere else I can take it. It's already there.
Which are both extracts from the book.
Andrew, do you want to take a guess?
Jesus and the Madonna, colon, like a virgin.
No ideas, Graham?
Jesus and the early porn years.
Jesus, the gigolo years.
I'm just thinking about old TV shows still. Jesus and the BJ and the bear.
I'm just disappointed that the title definitely isn't Carry On Jesus.
It might as well be. The title is actually Jesus and the G-Spot.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm going to end it there. I think Graham wins this time. I'm saving others for another quiz.
Excellent.
It sounds like a bountiful stream.
Oh,
you have there.
There are so many. Once you start digging into this, there are so many. And I have so much more respect for what they do at the Diagram Prize after starting this. Like, I was literally inundated with all of these book titles, and I'm just sitting here going. I mean, you've probably heard of titles like Me Talk Pretty One Day.
Yeah.
Which I always, whenever I read it, I always hear it in my head. In a really high pitched tone,
in a Ralph Wickham voice.
I don't hear it in that. I think it's a high nasally aloof tone.
Ah, so David Sedaris's actual voice.
Yes, basically. Yeah. There's like that's just the tip of the iceberg, and then after that, there are so many more.
Very cool.
And I've been trying to avoid ones that are on the Diagram prize list or Diagram winners.
Like
The Big Book of Lesbian Horse Stories, Goblin Proof and Once, Chicken Coop, how to avoid huge ships.
Of our old favourite Greek Ruval postmen and their cancellation numbers.
Yep.
That's extraordinary.
So, that's your quiz.
Nice one, Rob.
Next time, yes. We've got famous last words.
Excellent.
That also sounds like an excellent quiz.
It does.
So, that's your lot for this episode. We'll be back next time. But in the meantime, you can catch all of our previous shows, indeed everything that's on the Geek Show Network, on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk, where you'll also find our Patreon. So if you want to show your support, you can always help us by donating to that. Or if you're listening on whichever podcast provider you're listening on, then you can leave us a rating, leave us a review. It does help us improve. It does help us get more notice as well. Until next time then, I've been Rob.
I've been Graham.
I've been Sarah.
And I've been Andrew.
And we will see you all later.
Thanks for listening.